chance for Sean Mackey to strike!
It's Calvin Miller against McGowan. Miller sent it in!
It's Miller time, baby! Champions again! Falkirk have broken through the glass ceiling! After 15 years in the wilderness, Falkirk Football Club has once again a Premiership club!
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall, we're navy blue, are you?
The Tifo from Gate 20 Red on Friday night let us dream of what our grandfather's seen. We are now two games away from that as the Bairns are marching on to the Scottish Cup semi-final at Hampden. Hello, welcome to Falkirk Daft. I am John McInally, joined as ever by Ginger Gordon Pod. It is Ross Wayne.
Good morning, buddy. Yeah, I'm already here, live from outside
Hampden.
I could see that.
Can't wait. By the way, Tifo on Friday, absolutely on point. Best we've done, I think. Phenomenal work from Gate 20. Really, really good.
I agree with you. Visually and like sentimental as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was interested because you saw the Dundee United one that looked like it was just a wee sheet or something like that put up, but then you see what we did and it was incredible. So good work from Gate 20, the ultras there, absolutely phenomenal stuff. So I know it was class, and yeah, just like I say, let us dream of what our grandfather's seen. We're that one step closer to seeing that. I mean, we've been there in our lifetime, Ross. We've been lucky enough to see three Scottish Cup finals. And now, you know, another trip to Hampden. I can't wait.
Yeah, I was so excited for the draw tonight. I don't even care who it is. I do care who it is, but I also don't care at the same time. It's just amazing to be there. As you said, we're two opportunities away from lifting a trophy. And with it, which sounds bonkers, the Europa League.
Mental. I mean, we can dream. I don't want to dream about taking on Dunfermline, though. I can't believe they got past Aberdeen. It's just filling me with dread and fear already if we get drawn against them. Honestly, I'm absolutely full of the fear about it.
I'm now the opposite. I want to play them. I think we'll destroy them at Hampden. And I tell you one thing, I think Aberdeen made them look very good last night. And yeah, I think they're very good.
Yeah,
they're not very good.
Aberdeen did. But I've just got the story's there. I guess there's a couple of stories to tell. And if that game was to happen, it was like the fear of coming up against Callum Morrison, obviously. The fear of, but I guess from their perspective, they would think, oh, Barney Stewart might go and come back to haunt them. And just, it would keep me, I think it would keep me up. If we got drawn against them, it'll keep me up in sleepless nights for here until the actual game itself.
Like, so who do you want out of the teams that we couldn't?
I want Rangers or Celtic. I want Rangers, I'll be honest with you, I want Rangers or Celtic.
Do you?
Yep, get it done. Hmm. Get the semi-final done and then get to the final. I think I'd just get it done in the semi-final. That's who I'd want in the semi-final. But We'll wait and see who gets drawn against them. But the great thing is, it's coffers for the club. We'll obviously talk about the match against them, Dundee United, in a bit with our guest pundit Grant Thompson. But again, just money that we didn't budget for again is you know, and obviously you get, is it right? You get the semi-finals get split between the four teams as well. So going to be put in the coffers.
There is, yes. I think, so you're right, the gate gets split four ways. You also have guaranteed TV money, which is 60 grand per club. We won't have as big a costs this time, because if you remember when we played Inverness a few years ago, Rangers played Celtic in the other semi-final, and the costs for that fixture are huge. Now that won't be a cost that will happen this time, because it will be either Rangers or Celtic versus a another. So there will be more money there. We could be talking £300,000-£400,000 just from the semi final alone, and then obviously should we progress? I think that it's quite common that the winner would earn somewhere between £1 and £1.5 million, between ticket sales and TV and merchandise and all that kind of stuff. But even a losing finalist, you're gonna make a lot of cash. So However, we're not thinking that way. We're thinking lifting a trophy and getting on a plane in the summer and see where it takes us.
I have to say, I'm a wee bit delicate today, Ross. We're recording this at 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning, and I'm a little bit delicate. It was the Super Scoreboard day out yesterday, so we started about 2:30. Was out with some of the pundits, the presenters. End up randomly out with Johnny Russell. Random. There we go. So we're in the whole Wong, and Scott Allen was obviously one of our pundits and Super Scoreboard, and Johnny Russell was in the whole Wong. So end up going, wheeze, go in. We're like, ah, we're off out. And he said, I'll come, wheeze. So we ended up in the Horseshoe Bar with Johnny Russell last night and Scott Allen. And I believe the Falkirk team were out in Glasgow as well. But gutted, I missed them. I think they were in Wonder Bar. And Scott went, I'd went down the road by this point, and Scott went to meet them. And the one back, I think he's quite pal with Dylan Tate. So
Ah, brilliant.
missed the chance to go and party with the Falkirk players. Gutted, absolutely gutted about that.
Yeah, I saw on socials they were out having a few beers, well-deserved beers
Absolutely.
after this season so far.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think they were on a promise or a week off as well. So well done to the guys. And I think they'll definitely be getting Monday off, I suspect, as well, if they've got that
Absolutely,
crack.
yeah.
Well deserved. Absolutely well deserved. We'll get to the game in just a bit. But I've got to say thank you very much to our sponsors. They're back again. It is Rumour Architecture. Thanks to Ryan. His business is been going for about 5 years now. He was working with a local practice for nearly 17 years. He's a Falkirk Bairn, and he's a great architect, one of only three chartered architects in the town. You'll have seen his work. If you're looking for an extension, looking for any kind of projects, new offices, Ryan can do it all. He's there for all your architectural needs, and he's going to give you 10% off. All you need to do is quote Falkirk Daft when you get in touch with him, and you can do that by going to rmar.co.uk, rmar.co.uk. And if you're looking for an extension or any work done or any need for an architect, quote Falkirk Daft, you'll get that 10% off. So get in touch with Ryan, keep it in the Falkirk family, as we always say, and yeah, get involved with an RMR, Rumour Architecture. And yep, Ryan will sort you. Great. Thank you very much for sponsoring the episode, Ryan. We'll see you at the live event, which is put in your date in your diary. I keep forgetting it's May the 15th. May the 15th for Falkirk Daft Live. It's our end of season party. Because I was just about, there's the Complete Stone Roses are playing the same night that we're doing that up the town. Frankly, the Smiths and the Complete Stone Roses are playing up the town that night as well. So don't go to see them, come to see us. That night, so yeah, get you that date in the
Which
diary.
will hopefully be a top six pre-evening top six final day, and if with any luck, it might even be the week before a certain cup final as well, all being
Yeah,
well.
fingers crossed. Fingers crossed. We'll talk about how we got there just in a bit. Club news wise, Aberdeen tickets on sale now for non-season ticket holders from Tuesday. You've got your heading up on Saturday, Ross. I'm giving it a miss. You're going up, aren't you?
No,
Oh, you're missing
I
it as
can't do
well.
this one. Unfortunately, yeah, it'll be a Falkirk TV job for me. I've my eldest has got a, as we talked about previously on this podcast, she's obviously in air cheerleading. She's got a competition all day on Saturday with my wife, and my youngest and I are on. We've got we're on pup duty, Milo duty, so we will need to stay local for him. So no, but Falkirk TV job. Really looking forward to the game though. Aberdeen are obviously in a weird place, both on and off the pitch, and it'll be amazing to see 1,500, 1,600 Bairns fans up there making loads of noise.
It'll be a good away day. Aberdeen always is, so
Always is, yep.
there'll be a decent crowd turning up for that one. The Academy fundraiser, I think we talked about that. Simon Stenod and Dick Campbell are doing that, but that looks like it was going to have to be moved now because it collides with the Scottish Cup semi. I've not heard anything more on that yet, Ross, unless you have.
No, I assume they have a backup date in mind, which the club I'm sure will come out with, but hopefully it's a time and date that the vast majority of people will still be able to go. It is a huge fixture in the club's calendar, and Dick Campbell, funny guy, very, very funny guy. And Simon, as well as being a legend, he's got plenty of stories
I
from
wonder
his
if
time at the
they'll.
club as
I
well.
mean, Simon's obviously coming from abroad. I think he lives now in France. I'm wondering if they might miss out on Simon as a result, because I wonder if he's booked to come across and if that just coincided. And then, but we'll wait and see. We'll wait and see what the club news in it. But it's a great night out. So we'll keep you posted on what's happened with that. Shout out to Leon and the McCanns. You obviously heard his emotional interview after the game on Friday, and his wee man he's got his ocular implants now. So he heard the man heard his mum and dad, wee Brooke heard his mum and dad for the first time, and it tapped off. Like I think Leon said himself, it's the best week of his life. Having the wee man, and obviously man of the match performance from Leon on Friday. So great to see that, and obviously the charity's still on the go, Be Heard. Which we supported at our last Falkirk Daft Live. We're able to hand over a wad of cash from that. So hopefully that helps the charity, and obviously just shines a light on. I think that's the whole point of Be Heard and why Leon set up the charity, him and his wife, because they went through it and didn't find there was much support for when your child's born deaf. So yeah, hopefully it goes a wee bit of a way of helping out families that find themselves in the same situation.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, he's what a week for him. What a week for him. And he was phenomenal on Friday night. Obviously got the sports scene man of the match. Will he get the Falkirk Daft rated this week as well? Who knows? But if he does, is it not like it would be his third in about 3 or 4 weeks, I think.
I know, phenomenal.
What a form he's on. What a form.
There you go. Aye, no, absolutely. We've got it's not we're not an F Factor season, but I like this. We're continuing the songs coming in. I love this, and Ewan Stewart's got one for us to the tune of Titanium. Are you aware of the song Titanium, Ross Wayne?
I am. That's David Guetta, isn't it?
Well done, well done. There you go.
Thank you. Thank you. I don't know that I can't. I couldn't tell
I'm
you
trying. I'm
that. I
trying.
know
I'm
the
trying to work
tune.
out. So he's got the words here when he's on. Right. So I'll try and do this. Right. Okay. I am titanium. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Right. Okay. I think I've got this. When he's on the wing, you hear us sing blue and white. No, I've not got this at all. When he. So this is what you'd suggest for Ben Brosio. When he's on the wing, you hear us sing blue and white. He's doing his thing in the Scottish Premiership. He plays so bold. Ben Brosio's scoring all the goals. He is Ben. Right, I'll get this, but he is Ben Brogio. He scores for Falkirk. Watch him go. He is Ben Brogio. Falkirk's goal machine. I've messed it up. But please believe us a voice note, Ewan, and how it's meant to be sang. That would be great because I'm making a pig's ear of it. But thank you very much for your
I like
input.
it though. He's done well with the lyrics there.
Yeah. He's done very well, very well. So I send us a voice note so we can hear it in its full glory, please, Ewan. Quick dive into birthday corner before we talk about the game. It's happy birthday to Dylan, who turns 14 on the 9th of March. He's one of the resident ball attendants, and that comes from your dad, Dougie, Lorna, and Chloe, of course.
Yep, happy birthday to Dylan. And we've also had another one coming. This was obviously one that was given to us on Friday night as well. So, hi, Ross and John. Could you give a shout out to Max Cruikshanks, who celebrated his 18th birthday? And that's from his grandpa Paul and Uncle Craig. And they, as I mentioned, they were celebrating in the 1876 lounge with us, John, on Friday night. And fair play to Max. Not only was it his 18th birthday, but he also won the time of the first goal and he got 100 quid in his
He did.
pocket.
He did.
Amazing.
You did. Well done, Max. Well done. A couple of players' birthdays this week. Oh, by God. Gary Holt, obviously, manager. He's 53, turning 53.
I hope he has an absolute shitter of a day.
Wait,
Like, if anything can go wrong, I hope it goes
why were
wrong
we
for
going
him.
scared at Gary Holt? He was all right, was he not?
Gary Holt, he
Aye.
was horrific. He was absolutely horendous.
I thought he was all
As,
right.
mate, come on. He was a shite manager. He was a shite director of football, whatever you want to call him as well. No, there's not enough words for, like, he's not Paul Hartley levels, who I saw was crying
Oh
to the
my
son
God, I saw him
this
saying the
week.
abuse that he got for. Like, there's. Paul Hartley was just a dick. Like, when he was at Falkirk, the tearing up the academy and the shite players he signed, like, and the money he burnt through. Like, and he wonders why he's getting abuse from Falkirk supporters.
Yeah, there is no level. Like, Gary Holt's not Paul Hartley level, but he's close to, he's a close second in my opinion. You just want him to be abused like a long lost uncle.
Really? I honestly, God.
Massively.
All right, okay. So anyway, happy birthday, Gary, turning 53. Stephen Harrington, remember, he came with such pomp as well. Stephen Harrington, I thought he was going to be a great player for. He was okay in the end, but he's 33 on the ninth. Luca Gasparato, remember Luca Gasparato, Canadian international as well. Turned 31. Bloody hell, is Luca Gasparato only 31? Jesus, wow. On the 10th, Eamon Brophy, obviously back-to-back champion, had a little loan spell with us. Now at Morton, he's 30. Ben Parkinson, hopefully see him back in the navy blue next season. But he's turning 21, so happy birthday, Ben. Peter Grant Jr. Obviously talking about Scottish Cup, scoring that goal in the final for us. In fact, that's the only goal I've seen us score in the Scottish Cup final in my lifetime, because apart from Neil Oliver's disallowed one.
Well, that is true. Yeah, aye. It's weird that Peter Grant's only 32.
I
Like
know.
that, because that's, like, you might bear in mind the cup final was what, 11 years ago?
Yeah, absolutely.
Jesus.
I know. So Peter Grant, 32. Ross McLean, remember him? He scored from direct from a free kick, and I just no, I mixed that up. Missed that up because he was
Ross
signed.
McLean was
It
one of
was
the.
Lovejoy that scored it, wasn't it? It was Ian McShane that scored directly from the corner. Ross McLean, we could have joined at the same
Ross
time
McLean
though.
was that winger, wasn't he? He
Yeah.
was, yeah. Ex-Motherwell lad.
So I don't know what he's up to now, but he's 29. Ryan Williamson turns 30. The Cafu
Where's
of.
he injured
He
now?
was
Where's he?
Montrose. He was at Montrose, but I don't know if he's still there now. Remember, he scored that worldie where he like total Cafu, where he went right down the wing and played like absolute scored an absolute worldie. I can't remember who it was against. I think it actually was against Montrose as well. But Ryan Williamson turns 30. I don't know where he is now. Sean Welsh, remember Sean Welsh? He's 36. I think he's still. I think he's at Queen's Park now. I think he might be at Queen's Park now, Sean Welsh. And Alfie Akinmuyi turns 26. Alfie, Captain Chaos himself up in Lawrence St Johnstone just now, turns 26. So happy birthday, Alfie. There we go. Right, okay, let's say before we talk about the game, thanks to our sponsors. Of course, our headline sponsors are Behind the Wall. Stay local, Eat and Drink Global. I might be going up there for my lunch this afternoon.
Nice.
Taking the wife out, so we might go there this
Good.
afternoon. And there's bus seats to Aberdeen. They remain on sale. It's £20 return, so that's a great deal for that. And you'll get your pint when you get back to the pub as well, which will be well deserved after that trip. So £20 return for that. Get in touch with the guys at the bar. Get yourself booked on that. We've got ABBA Tribute Night on the 27th of March, which is just around the corner. What's your favourite ABBA song, Ross?
The winner takes it all, and I hope we do this year,
Very good.
Joey.
Like that.
Hope we
Like
do.
that. So the ABBA tributes on the 27th of March. Tam Cowan's in there. Ross, your pal, you were on Off the Ball with him. But he's in Behind the Wall on the 25th of April. And buses are still going to take that on June. That's a £15 return. It's all at Behind the Wall. Get involved there and check out the website for all the events, behindthewall.co.uk. All right then, let's go and now talk about the game against Dundee United. We'll do it in the company of this man. And I'll put.
Oh, Charlie, no, we're a bit thrown up here, son. What we'll do is we'll go down to the bottom and then we'll send it back up, okay?
It holds eight.
I know that, Charlie, but right, okay, you're in.
Press 10.
10. One player. Did you know I've just walked in?
No. Oops.
That's all right, son. That's my foot.
Got it, pal.
No worries. It's rubber.
You better eat chocolate, son.
Aye. Keep on coming.
That's it. That's all of that. That's it. Hello, that lazy fat bastard. They went flare.
You just called me a fat bastard there.
No, I did not. No. Just wishing you all the best for it. Come on, come on.
Middlesbrough the attack again. The 16-year-old. He's in. Oh, it's incredible. It's his second hat trick in a week.
Look at that man's showreel. His new, brand new showreel, which we just played from it, is actor extraordinaire. You saw him there just picking up David Beckham, standing still game. And now he's on Falkirk Daft. Welcome, Grant Thompson.
Good morning, chaps. How you doing?
We're all right, mate.
Good,
We're all
thanks.
right. We're hoping you might get some extra work now that we've just shown your new showreel. And you never know who's watching Falkirk Daft. You never know.
Oh, well, that, it's nice that you've been looking at me when I've not been about. That's not creepy at all, but fantastic. Thanks.
There you go. And listen, we need to get you some more work, Grant, because you're from the clubs, yes, you can see you're an actor extraordinaire.
Yeah, well, I've actually got a new agent this week, funnily enough. So let's see what happens this year.
Fantastic. There was a distinct lack of Falkirk Daft live appearances in your show reel. Just saying, Grant, that I'm sure there's something out there that you have had you on stage recorded.
Yeah, if anyone's got any footage, fire it over and I'll slide it in.
Grant is a resident quizmaster at Falkirk Daft Live. Hopefully he's available on the 15th to continue that momentum.
Yeah, it should be, guys. It should be. Smash. So looking forward to it.
Great. Brilliant. Listen, thanks for coming on, Grant. Here to talk about Dundee United. We were just talking before. Who do you want in the semi?
My heart says Dunfermline. My head says either one of the other two, St Mirren or Partick.
Right, okay.
I think that could be the easiest route to the final. I'd happily have Dunfermline in the final and scud them, but just, I don't know. How about you guys? What do you think?
I want Rangers or Celtic. I want to just get it done with. Get Rangers or Celtic. I want to avoid Dunfermline because it'll give me sleepless nights for months.
Yeah.
A month.
Yeah.
I know. So
I want Dunfermline.
Just knowing who signed for them in the January transfer window, that's what gives me nightmares.
Yep. Exactly the same, Grant. Exactly. That's what I was just saying. It's just got that kind of, you know, fairy tale for him written over. But as I said, Barney Stewart might do the exact same, come back and haunt them and score a couple of goals against them. But we'll wait and see when the draw happens. But we're here to talk about getting to that actual semi, the game against Dundee United on Friday night under the lights. No changes, surprise, surprise, from the 5-1-1 over Kilmarnock. But Kyrie Wilson was back in the team, which was good to see as well. And he certainly had an effect when he came on the park as well. But yeah, Ross, I don't think there was any changes that were going to be made, was there, after that one?
No. We there was a little bit of chatter that would Kyrell come straight in. However, that would have been really unfair on the team who absolutely thumped Kilmarnock. So, no, not huge surprise. And we did, John McGlynn, I think, alluded to it. He did expect Dundee United to potentially set up very similarly than Kilmarnock did. So, and he had changed the sort of shape of the team at points defensively and offensively. So, I was really excited when I saw the team lineup.
Yeah. Grant, any changes you would have had, or were you quite happy with going with what was?
I don't see how you can change that team from Kilmarnock last week, and John very rarely does change a winning team. So, no, I was quite content and not surprised at the team that faced Dundee United.
Yeah, absolutely. From Dundee United perspective, obviously they had a game in midweek, so there was a good few changes for them. But obviously they had their very own kind of Scott Arfield moment. Johnny Russell obviously was not only fit enough to make the bench. We'll talk about his performance because he did make a difference when he came on. But we just came out the trap. So like Falkirk have done all season, absolutely flying, and we didn't have to wait long until that first goal, which was coming, you know, and it was obviously Ben Brosio, good work on the right hand side, laying it off to Spencer, and Brad Spencer, unlucky with his shot, but the goalkeeper ran holding the ball, luckily just punched it into there, and Big Barney is there, gets the power in the header, and it just goes over the goalkeeper, and we're off to the races.
It was a brilliant start. And we did deserve the early goal because whilst we didn't really create like much up to we scored, we got to bear in mind we scored in, 8 minutes? We had so much of the ball. I would have loved to have seen what the possession stats were for that opening 8-9 minutes because we did. We saw an awful lot of the ball. We looked fresher, which we hoped we would be. We looked lively with it. We tried to quiet in the away crowd, which I felt we did as well. Falkirk crowd were obviously very much up for it, and that fed onto the team as well. And the goal, Barney, just right place, right time again with a fantastic header.
Yeah. That wasn't an easy goal to score, by the way, because the ball was almost coming behind him when he got to it. So, no, yeah. Full credit to Barney. It was a brilliant goal.
I mean, again, right place, right time, and that's what you want from your striker and your number nine, just being there to pick up the scraps. And Barney is like more and more he's just settling into that role more and more and more, and it's really exciting looking ahead. I mean, hopefully that's the top six. We're pretty much, I would say, looking at Dundee United, I don't think they're going to, and I heard actually Dundee United have not won more than two games in a row all season, so if they're going to go on and win four games, so you would say we're definitely top six. But it's going to be really exciting, I think, next season when, you know, we have Ben Parkinson and Ross McKeever hopefully fit again. We'll find out what happens with Brian in the summer. As we spoke about last week, Ross, it's probably be good to keep Brian on just for that, for coaching the young strikers that we have.
Could you not just tactically message Brian just now and say, listen, we might need you for some daytime gigs next year. Are you free or are you busy at Falkirk, and see what he replies?
We could find out. I'll have a good, I usually on a Tuesday, I give it a good, nah, he's actually working on Tuesday there on Super Scoreboard, listening for the Falkirk supporters because we get some good Falkirk chat from him. But I sit and have a cup of tea with Brian when he's in and get all the goss and just find out what's happening, you know. So I'll find out what's going on. I'll try and get out of him when I speak to him on Tuesday. You know, it's exciting, and Barney is just doing it. I mean, that's seven goals now since he's come back from Dunfermline, was that right?
Seven.
So the hat trick, the double, and then two goals in the cup, yeah. So like it's just, he's just flying at the moment, absolutely flying. He's, you know, he's such a lovely guy, Barney. His interviews are brilliant on the telly, just a big daft laddie. On Friday after the game, Grant, he just wandered into the lounge, right, the 1876 lounge, and we thought, oh, he's here for an interview. So we're just like, ah, welcome to the lounge, Barney Stewart. And Barney just walked in, he's like, I'm not even meant to be here. He was looking for somebody.
He was looking for his girlfriend, wasn't he? And like, well, I don't think she's here.
Aye. So we just got him on the mic. I was like, we won't keep waiting for long, Barney. Get us, talk us through the goal. He was like, I was a bit lucky. Fuck it. That's what his exact nice. Words.
He does come across as just a really, really nice, likable lad. So
he's such a good lad, and it's great to have him in the club. And I'm great to see he got rewarded with that extension, his contract, and a better wage. Because as John said, he's probably the worst paid player in the Premiership. I don't think that'll be the case anymore, though. So brilliant. He's going to make us a lot of money.
Do you think people's going to come in for him? Clubs are going to come in for him in the summer?
Yeah. I generally do think they will see his potential. Though, like for a club down south, it's a no-brainer, isn't it? Like looking at him, looking at the size of him, looking at his athleticism, yeah. I think like for if you come in with a wad of cash, I think Cobbs will. And if he continues his scoring form, there's no way Cobbs won't look at him. You know, because I'd add in the goals that he scored for Dunfermline, add the goals he's scoring in the Premiership for Falkirk. It's a no-brainer, and I do think I suspect there'll be clubs sniffing about him come the summer.
Yeah.
I think there will be interest, of course, because like for all the reasons you've just said, we are in a better place though, where we don't need to accept a low-ball offer.
No.
Like 4 or 5 years ago, we would have had to have just bitten the first offer that came in, but we've obviously over-exceeded in the league. We've over-exceeded well in the league, so we're going to get extra money there.
Yeah, the budget was for 10th. The budgeted for 10th, and we've finished 6th at least.
Yeah, so I think there will probably be interest, not just him, but we're definitely not in a position where we need to drop our drawers to anyone. Do I think he should go? No, but then like the money talks for both him personally and the club. But I think he probably would really benefit from another season, full season in the Premiership. And who knows what other opportunities may come his way next year, especially if we finish this season as well as we all hope.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But yeah, I don't think we're now in the position that we won't get lowballed in these. Like, you see, like, Lennon Miller and the money he went for, and, you know, I'm not saying that Barney Stewart is Lennon Miller, but the club are going to get to a point where we've got to make the model work. We've got to start, you know, when was the last player that we sold for money? Conor McGrandles, probably. You know, I think with add-ons, it was a million for Conor. So the club are going to have to work on that model, and I'm sure we've got a lot of, you know, players there that will be catching the eye, Calvin Miller being one as well, Dylan Tate, we we know he's out of contract, unfortunately, but he's certainly one that was, he would catch the eyes as well. So we will get to a point that we have to work on the model. I think Barney might be the kind of first player in that new kind of system that now we're back in the Premiership, goes for a lot of money, but we'll wait and see, and we'll enjoy him while we've got him as well. Great first goal, and we don't have to wait long for the second goal either. Leon McCann, we'll talk about his performance just in a bit, but an incredible ball over from the left hand side, and it was coming, it was 100% coming, because we absolutely were battering Dundee United in terms of possession, and you know, just like bringing them out, and it was a great ball in, and a brilliant header from Finn, who just got in between the two defenders and just flashed it into the back of the net. But it was all about that ball from Leon. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah. No, the header was a bullet, wasn't it? It was beautiful. No, echo what you're saying there, John. It's just Leon, great game, but yeah, it took that goal well. Bullet of a header.
The ball in was like inch perfect for Finn. And Finn did time his run really, really well. I saw, watching it back, there was quite an inquest in the defence, all arguing with each other. And but from a Falkirk perspective, beautiful, beautiful finish. Delighted for Finn as well, because since he signed his new deal, he's not really played a lot of football. But when he has been asked to play, he smashed it. He did last week, he did this week. Probably not his best game ever, but he did enough. He was a nuisance in the role, and he got his goal really well as well. I put yourself about.
He's one of these reliable players.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, playing in the role, you got an interview with BBC afterwards, and he was saying, like, and he's not a natural 10, because he says he's not an attacking-minded player, but it's the industry that Finn brings to the side, you know, creating space for Dylan and Brad and just running up and down the pitch. I mean, if you're looking for a more natural 10, I guess Benbrogio, we saw Louis Marsh in there, Ethan Williams, probably could play in there, Ethan Ross. But, like, with the industry that Finn brings to the side, you know, and he's done really, really well in that role, even though, and as you said, he was brought in as a six, ended up playing right back, you know, didn't get much of a look in last season in terms of the team. But, like, he's done really well in that 10. He's obviously doing the job that John wants him to do in there, and great finish for the header. And we saw his go against St Mirren as well, which was a cracker as well. So,
Going back to the likes of Barney, though, you're talking about Brian Graham. Barney's learning from Brian Graham. But you can see Finn's learning from these other players around him, like Dylan, like Brad Spencer. He's still so young, he's just learning. He's just getting better and better. And he's always a reliable player for us.
Yeah, really is. Really is. And then, like, we were so comfortable the rest of that first half. Really, really comfortable. We almost had that chance as well, which was the chance opened up for Cal Miller. You know, he had so much time and space, but I think it was Stevenson got back in and managed to make a tackle, which just went past the post. If he just maybe just shot a bit earlier, Calvin, he might have had the chance there. But we were just so comfortable. And then, stupidly, like we've done in the last, you know, we have this knack of losing goals right before half time, and it happened again. Benbrogio, a bit naive, just holding on to the ball. And I thought Ben was actually guilty of that a good few times in the match, of just holding on to the ball and trying to get past players when there was a pass on. So it was that kind of happened time and time again. He got caught out for their goal in possession. I mean, defence was a wee bit sixes and sevens, both Cole and Liam coming out to try and get the ball. And then the boy just squares it over, and Eskinen manages to score from it. Scott Bain, could he have done better, Ross?
In terms of when I watched it back, I think Scott will be a little bit disappointed. It obviously hits kind of off his kind of upper area as well as the hands, and it's just a bit of a weird one for him. Maybe it was just the angle it came in at, but having watched it back, I think he'll be a little bit disappointed. The defence will be disappointed losing it as well, for all the reasons you've said. Ben, I think he's admitted it himself. It's a huge gulf from the level he was at in terms of the time on the ball, so he doesn't get as much now, whereas back in his Villa days earlier this season, he would have that time and space to pick a pass, run at the defence, do what he needs to do. But here he just doesn't get that, and he gets clattered, and it has started the downfall with that goal.
Yeah, it was a bit of a messy one, Grant.
Yeah, no, I definitely think Scott Bain could have done better. The ball was just about down his throat, but we can't criticise him too much because as you go into the second half,
Kept us in it.
he kept us in it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a totally different game that second half if we go in at 2-0. We just see it out. We get probably another goal or two. Because United were pretty rotten that first half.
Yeah.
And they got their chance and they took it in fairness to them. And then they came out as a result of that goal with their tails up in that first 20 minutes of the half. Like it was just like it was co like they were constantly at us. We lost possession an awful lot of times as well in that and just gifted them possession, but they had their tails up and that first 20 minutes of the second half certainly was like close your eyes and just keep
Yeah.
looking at your watch.
It
No,
was.
absolutely.
Oh, sorry. I'm gonna go back.
No, just I was saying absolutely, yeah.
I think it was a tough watch, and I think you just look round, like Grant, out obviously from where we sit, we can't see you, and you're saying, but you would have been doing the same as us, which was just like
Yeah.
hand in your head in your hands, and that's all you saw when you looked about as well, just nervousness, and I think the crowd were a little bit quiet. Not the ultras. The ultras kept doing their thing, but I think the rest of the crowd were not as loud. The Dundee United fans were obviously buoyed from what they were seeing, and they were getting it in. And every time they went up the park, I thought, "Oh no, here we go!" And there was a flurry of corners as well before their chance that came off the post, and you thought, "Oh Christ, one of these is gonna go in."
Yeah, before that.
Usually, yeah. Usually this season, when we've been like that, though, when it's, I'm usually looking at the bench to see who can we bring on, who can we bring on. I was doing that on Friday nights, like who can we bring on, who can we bring on. But there wasn't anyone on the bench I thought could do
Change
a
it.
job at the time. Yeah, that would change it. But yeah, it was hearts in your mouth kind of stuff.
I was actually crying for Henry Cartwright to come on a bit earlier than he did because Henry's the kind of guy that will win the ball back, get possession for you, and his magnificent arse will retain the ball really, really well as well. But he did come on. I mean, because those chances, let's talk about the chances. One on one, Sapsford's one on one with Scott Bain. Great save from Scott as well to deny him. Really, really good save on that one on one with him. Gets it round the post, and then I have no idea in the world how Sapsford does that ball doesn't go in off the post and across the line and just trundles back along the line into Scott Bain's hands because it was a well worked move from United in fairness to him. A really nice touch from Johnny Russell, who made a difference when he came off the bench. And then Sartsford with the flick, which just comes. Because everybody in the stadium thought it was in. Everyone in the stadium
Yeah.
thought it was in. It was
Yeah.
up. But thank God
I looked away. I looked away. See, as soon as I saw Sapsford strike it towards goal, I thought, well, he's passing it into an empty corner here. And I looked at Al, who was sitting to the right of me, and he's like, no, look. And so I turned, and then obviously Bain had it in his hands, and you're like, what the hell just happened there?
I know. It was a
Yeah.
big chance, and lucky for us. But I thought actually those two chances aside, we got control back probably about 70th minute or around about then. We actually started playing our game again, and it was like a bit of a wake up call almost that chance, and we just started settling into passes again, game management, retaining the ball, doing what Falkirk do, and we've seen over the last few seasons in terms of just pass, work the space. You could even see like Dylan Tate when we were all getting quite anxious in the crowd, just sort of tell us to calm down because there was a point where I was screaming at Dylan. Like there was a couple of points where I was screaming at Dylan to make a different pass from what he did because it was I think Lisa was going bombing down the right, and then he was free, and then Dylan went the other way, and I'm like, "What are you doing,
Yeah.
Dylan?" But I thought we after the kind of we weathered that kind of first 20 minutes, we settled in, and Kyle obviously coming on, Henry came on as well,
And I think Kyrell coming on, John, was really the catalyst, because it gave Dundee United something else to worry about.
He was looking for balls in behind all the time. You could see him pointing all the time, get in behind.
Yeah, we were looking a wee bit leggy till he came on as well, and Ben had done a shift. But I think the United defenders had started to kind of push that little bit higher, which was then pushing the pressure onto us. But Kyrell coming on, just as he's done before, it gave them something else to worry about, and they had to retreat back a little bit, and it got us kind of away from being in our own box, really.
Yeah, and obviously a big chance for Kyrell Grant. Maisie run down that right-hand side, doing what he does, is cutting in. And then, obviously, just it was quite similar to the chance here against Celtic. It couldn't quite get the power. You just needed to smash that. He kind of went for more placement, but allowed the goalkeeper to save it, but he just needs to stick his laces through that, and it's in the back of the net. And I don't know what's went on at the back post with Calvin Miller. It's come back. You know, it's fallen to him, and there's been a United defender that's come back off the post, but it could have been, you know, put the game to bed at that point.
I watched that back, and it was quite a tight angle for Calvin to try and get in there and get the ball in. But yeah, on the actual night, I was screaming, "How did we miss that? What happened there?" But yeah, when you look back at it, it wasn't the easiest.
Do you not think if he was on the other wing, he might have when you think back to Kyrell's goals that he has scored, it's been right foot, just put your foot through it, right?
Yeah.
The chance against Celtic and the chance against Dundee United were quite similar in the fact that he was kind of cutting in at the right-hand side, then trying to kind of adjust his body to get a shot away, and both of obviously not went in. One, the keeper saved, one he's not, but I just think, and you don't want to piss about with like the wingers constantly, because Calvin does amazing on the left, but you just feel maybe if he gets these opportunities on his right foot coming in from the left to the right, he might have scored both chances probably.
I don't think Calvin actually had a particularly good game. It was a lot of hustle and bustle from, but I don't think he had a particular great game on Friday night.
There was a few with quiet games, John. But Dundee United obviously done their work. They minimised the threat of Calvin. They certainly minimised the threat of Lissa for the majority of the game.
Phil was really quiet actually. When you look back at the game, Phil was actually not his marauding self. Down that right-hand side. Leon on the other side was excellent. You know, I've always wondered as well, why does Leon, probably the best cross to the ball I would say we've got on the side, why does he not take the corners? I've never understood that.
Yeah.
Do you not think it's tactical from a breakaway perspective, though? Because he's very, very fast, right? He's obviously not the tallest player, so you know that he's never going to be in and amongst the box. But also, from a defensive perspective, he's switched on to know where he needs to be. I don't know. That's my take on it, and it could be, it might not be that reason, but that's my gut feel.
Yeah. And the other thing I'd say tactically as well is Ben Brosio. I don't think I've seen him. He always cuts in. He never gets to the byline, tries to make a cross. In fact, I can think of many crosses from Ben Brosio. I know it's the inverted wingers thing, so expecting them to cut in, but sometimes it's just a bit obvious what he's got to do, because I don't think I've ever seen him get cross the ball into the box. You know, obviously they look for those overlapping runs from on either side. Calvin's exact same, looking for that overlapping run from Leon and on the right, Philip as well. But we won the game, but it was just little nitpick things that pick out from the match. And I thought Dylan Tate was excellent again, just always. You know, apart from me screaming at him at points for where he was picking what I thought was the wrong pass, but I thought Dylan Tate was magnificent in that midfield. I thought he ran the show.
No, and totally agree with you at that pass as well to Lissa that he didn't make out. I remember it well, and I think it was a couple of ropey passes from Tate on the night.
Yes,
but by and large.
There was a couple of Hollywood attempts that didn't come off. And that's what you're going to get with Dylan, though. You know, he's always got his eye up. He's always looking for that forward pass. You know, Brad's a bit more conservative, but Dylan's always like, right, can I get that ball through there, or can I, squeeze it through that gap? And he's going to, he's going to get away possession now and again with trying that. But, when it comes off, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, let's hear what Mr. McGlynn had to say after the match. Actually, cancel that. John doesn't hasn't done an interview with the club TV. It doesn't look like. Well, we certainly can't see it anyway. And I tried to look for something on the BBC. But I did hear him speaking after the game on the telly, because I'm sure you two did it as well. Went back after the match on Friday, poured myself a big, large whiskey and waited for the highlights and the game to be uploaded onto the BBC iPlayer, which didn't happen until about 12:30, 1 o'clock. And then I watched back. Well, I skipped forward the game. I watched the half-time analysis, the full-time analysis and interviews after the match, both Leon and Finn giving their perspective. And then obviously John gave his thoughts on the game as well. And he seemed a happy man.
Did indeed, as he should be.
Yeah, I think he's got a wee glint and he thinks we can definitely win this. I mean, he's kind of said he fancies us. So, you know, we'll definitely be the second best team left in the competition, come whatever happens in the games this afternoon. But yeah, why not? Why not? Let's just avoid them.
I've got a friend who's an Aberdeen supporter, and he had messaged me last night after I was firing abuse at him. And he's basically saying Aberdeen won the cup last year and they were shite.
Yeah.
Falkirk are better than Aberdeen last season and this season, so there's no reason why something might happen.
Totally agree.
Absolutely. Yeah. We will wait and see what happens then. Anyway, but let's hear what you had to say. Scott says, so proud of this team, so proud of this club. What a journey over the last few years. Come on, ye Bairns.
Indeed. Paul Fullerton, big shout out to Gate 20. The Tifo was absolutely class. The atmosphere was great as well. McCann, outstanding again. Not our best performance, but who cares? Hampden, here we come.
Yeah, John says 6 years to the day since we beat Peterhead 3-0 in the last game before lockdown. Jesus, I saw the Blue Toon podcast actually, who we used to speak to on this show. They posted that up as well. Unbelievable, eh? To come from there through the COVID year to winning the leagues and now playing the Premiership, what a trip. Hampden on the cards is unreal. Let's all take the time to enjoy this team 100%. Let's enjoy the good times while they're here, because we know as Falkirk Sports, they won't always be here. Things will happen. You know, might be, who knows if John retires or another club, Scotland, come and ask John to do the Scotland job. Who knows what will happen down the road, but enjoy this team while we've got them 100%, because, I mean, I've seen a few people saying, is this the best Falkirk team ever? And it's hard to argue against that. Really is. I think the only teams that come close, I thought Yogi's, the Latapy teams, when we first came into the Premiership, was, you know, when you think Paddy Craig, Anthony Stokes, Stephen O'Donnell, all those kind of players, I thought they were good. I thought, obviously, the Jeffries team, when we finished fifth that time, when you think back to, I don't know, John Clark, and who was scoring goals for us then? It wouldn't have been Mo Johnson, but that Jeffries team that finished fifth was brilliant. But
Mojo was part of that team as well.
Mojo part of that team, yep.
Yeah.
And I think this team, I think, to a man, are if not the best Falkirk team, they're very close to it. And what do you guys think?
No, I agree. For me, this is the best team I've seen. It's the football we play. The football we play is so pleasing on the eye. It's beautiful. It's lovely. And that sounds really cheesy and lovey-dovey, but it is. It's just brilliant football.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. What about you, Ross?
No, I agree. I think it will be cemented if we win a trophy, because obviously that was something that alluded. When I say a trophy, I don't mean the Championship or First Division. I'm talking about like Scottish Cup, things like that. That's something that alluded Yogi and Jeffries, etc. So that will definitely cement it. But for me, this is collectively the best Falkirk team I've watched since I started going, which was the late 80s. And you said something, John, about the best of times, knowing like this is the good old days type thing, and it takes you back. Do you remember, like, for those that watch The American Office, was that not the famous quote from it? Would it not be amazing to know the good old days before you actually leave them? That is exactly where we are. We are in the good old days now, and you do need to enjoy them massively.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But I think as well, you need to look at the club and the club's relationships with the fans as well. I think that, on top of what's getting done on the pitch.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, what a time to be a Falkirk fan.
Yeah. I mean,
what a time to be alive, as they say.
What a time to be alive. And do you know what? It is the best of times. And, like, I hope, like, people realise that, like, the younger supporters realise that, because they've experienced, you know, the last 3 or 4 seasons. You know, my son's jumped on the bloody bandwagon now, and I was like, it's not always like this, Finlay. It's not always like this. And you've got to realise that, you know, the hard times will come again. 100% they will come again, and we'll be on this podcast moaning. We've not had much moans over the last couple of seasons, but you just got to enjoy it. It's the good days right now. It's the good days, so don't let them pass you by. And it's just been, you know, I don't think there's, and I've said, I don't think there's any club, certainly in Scotland, that is more pleasing to support than Falkirk over the last few seasons. There's no club, you know. Motherwell fans are having a great season, enjoying that. Hearts fans, obviously, as well. But, like, in terms of, like, the last 3 seasons, there's been no better club to support than the Falkirk Bairns. So, long may it continue, but it won't always continue, so we'll all bear that in mind. Just enjoy it just now. Yeah. Logan says, superb to a man again tonight. Had to dig deep at times, but that's what gets you to Hampden. Man of the match goes to McCann for me. Brilliant all night, up and down that left-hand side.
Indeed. Sam Smith says, I don't think it's that Sam Smith, loved that. The team was so fluid for 70-ish minutes of the game, and the other 20 could well could do with some polishing. Barney's celebration needs to continue to wind up the away fans. Hampden will be superb, so let's just hope it's Dunfermline and we can give them a 10-0 thumping.
That would be the dream. I think Barney did the donkey ears. I think that was for Call. I think he did that on behalf of Call, because obviously, you know, we spoke to Callum on the podcast in the preview, who was actually in the lounge with us, him and Ronnie and Ewan from the STV Radio Football podcast, where they were in the lounge. And I think he did that on behalf of Call, because I'm pretty sure if Call did score, he'd be going up giving it the donkey ears as well.
Well, actually, John, just to add to that, I got a text off a very proud Barney Senior,
Barney as dad. In
Pete, his dad, Barney's dad, Pete. He says, just so you've got some context, after the gesture after the goal was to a very good friend of his called Finzo, to whom he had actually offered a ticket, but he's an Arab, so he went in the away end. So it was for his pal Finzo. I don't know why it was the donkey ears, though. That was maybe in part to do with the call situation as well.
Yeah. Who knows? But well done, but again, great to see that. Ian says, Leon made the country cry. There you go, with his a post-match interview.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was such an emotional moment for him and for everybody else.
I know, Jonathan Sullen was like, come on, Jonathan, do your research, son. Because he was like quite taken aback by it all. And it's like, come on, Jonathan, you know that if you're doing your research properly.
Well, exactly. And it was also Jonathan who also said, oh, it was a lovely touch giving the armband away against Stennis Weir. Yeah, we do that every game too, mate. Yvonne Johnson, who we know very, very well, she just says, Hampden, baby.
Yeah, Stevie Gibson says, League One Falkirk, eh?
Oh, pesky League One Falkirk. And finally, Nathan Evans simply says, this is our year.
I hope so. Right, let's get to Falkirk Daft Rated.
Leon McCann for me again. I think I've said him for the last 3 or 4 weeks.
It's going to be hot. Like, see, when it comes to play of the season, I think Leon's going to win every award this year. I've got a funny feeling. It was Hendo obviously swept the board last year, but I think Leon has been unbelievable again. I would put an argument for Dylan Tate, but I think it goes to Leon for me as well. What would you say, Grant?
No, Leon for me as well. Leon. What a game. And he's also the whole emotional side of things with his interview. And I don't know if you actually saw B Heard or posted a video of Leon with his wife and the wee one. Yeah.
I mean,
just about in bits. So yeah.
Oh, no, it's just what a week he's had, and there you go. On top of it, not only does he get Man of the Match, he gets Falkirk Daft rated as well. Well done, Leon, for about the 100th time this season. How many has he got now? I think he's got about 6.
He's got
2, 3, 4, 5. That's his 6th Falkirk Daft rated player of the season so far. So, yep, he's definitely going to be up there for player of the season, I think, coming out. Dafty, you've got a Dafty. I've got one if you've not got one.
I don't know if yours is the same as mine.
Is it Douglas Ross?
It is Douglas Ross. He got smashed. How the fuck did he give a throw-in the other way?
I know. Surely he's going to give it to Falkirk because it was the United player that smashed through him. Like, and he gave the throw in the other way. I was like, what are you doing? How's that a throw into Dundee United? But I Douglas Ross, let's give it to Douglas Ross. He got absolutely smashed.
Ross, are you scripting these lines? Because it was Rosie Jones a few weeks ago, and now it's Harvey Price today.
Honestly, he's going to get this podcast cancelled, Grant, I swear to God. But right, let's go for that then. Let's go for Douglas Ross. There we go. Always good to have Douglas Ross as a dafty as well. What's happening here? Sorry, I've switched on something. There we go. That's just the goal. So there you go. That's your Falkirk dafty and the Falkirk dafty of the week. And now for the quiz. Do we have a quiz this week, Ross?
We do indeed.
No. I thought you might have forgotten about it.
No.
Damn it.
So, do you have your board and pen to hand, John McAnally?
Funnily enough, I don't actually have my board and pen to hand, which is a bit annoying. Can I write it? I'll write it on my notes on my phone.
You write it. Right, you do that. You get that ready. So, Grant, you know the script because you've hosted many of these for us at the live events. So you will be facing John today. It is a Scottish Cup special. John, it is a different set of questions to the ones I used in the lounge on Friday night, just so you don't think you're going to get off with that here. But it's a Scottish Cup special, all around Falkirk. Right, are we ready? I'm looking forward to this one. Okay. So question number one. So John, you'll write yours down. Grant, once he's got something written down, we'll come to you for your verbal answer. So question number one. Who did Falkirk beat in the fourth round last season to set up the fifth round tie at home to Raith Rovers? So who did we beat in the fourth round last season, which was our very first Scottish Cup tie of last season, to set up a fifth round home tie against Raith Rovers, which obviously we sadly lost. But who did we beat in the round before?
Who was it? I was shaky.
This is when I get caught out for having absolute shite knowledge of Falkirk.
No, this is when I get caught out for having a terrible memory.
He's need a clue.
Was it home or away? Give us that.
It was away. And it was on TV. Last clue. We have faced the manager of that team in the last few years as well. In the Scottish Cup.
Oh my God, right. that is
after rushes.
Absolutely.
John, have you got anything written down?
I've not.
You've not got anything written down. So, Grant, can you take the lead here and make it 1-0? What's your answer?
I'll go with Dundee United.
You're saying Dundee United. So the clues I gave, well, it was on TV, it was away from home, and it was a game against the manager we'd already played in the Scottish Cup a couple of seasons before. It was Mick Kennedy's East Cup ride.
So it was. Yeah.
Okay, so still 0-0. Question number two. So the season prior to that, 23-24, which was our invincible season, which team knocked us out of the Scottish Cup? So the season before, which was season 23-24, and it was our invincible league season, but who did we lose to in the Scottish Cup? You were certainly at this game, John. I don't know if Grant was, but you were definitely there.
Go and say the question again, please.
So the season prior, 23-24, it was our invincible league season, mm-hmm. but who did we lose to in the Scottish Cup? Who knocked us out? Have I made these too hard?
No, it's just we've got shite memory. We've got shite memories. Oh my God, that is, my memory is shot, absolutely shot. Who knocked us out? Scottish Cup.
I'll give you one clue only. It was away.
It was an away game.
And you were there.
Oh, I know. I think I've got it. Yep, got it. Got it. Right, I've got an answer.
Got something written down. Grant, we'll come to you for your verbal answer.
Celtic.
You're thinking Celtic. John?
Bonnie Rigrose.
Bonnie Rigrose is indeed the correct answer.
That was a great wee away day, that. That was a great wee
day. Brilliant away day.
But a shame at the result. There we go. Right, we've got 1-0. Thank God.
Okay. Question number three. John McGlynn's first ever Falkirk Scottish Cup tie was an away win over which team? So John McGlynn's first ever Falkirk Scottish Cup tie was an away win over which team? And it was a rousing victory.
Ross, these are shocking questions.
So John McGlynn's first ever Falkirk Scottish Cup tie was an away win over which team? And it was a pretty emphatic one.
So that was semi-final run.
It was. So what was the first cup tie in the semi-final run against Inverness?
Oh, it would have been... it's not that one. It was away to... It was away
to... After rushes. John, have you got something written down?
I'm just...
Right, you write something down.
I've written down, but I don't think it's right. But I knew... Okay. I'm in the ballpark.
Mr. Thompson, come to you.
I don't know, Hearts.
Hearts, John?
It was a Highland League team, I'm sure, but I've written Huntley, but it wasn't them.
Oh, it was...
It was Wick Academy.
Wick, that was Wick. It. I could not remember the life of me. There you go.
So it's still 1-0 to Falkirk Draft. Yeah. Okay, question number four. As we've just said, we made the semi-final that season. But how many of the current squad started the match that day against Inverness? Was it three?
Oh, that's a good question.
Or was it four? So we made the semi-final that season, but how many of the current squad started the match that day against Inverness? Was it three or was it four? I don't need who they were, but I need a number from these both.
I've got a number.
I'll go four.
I'll go three.
Okay, John, you're saying three. Grant, you're saying four. One of these is obviously spot on. And it's John McInally. It was three.
Leon, was, Brad.
Not Brad.
Brad don't start.
No. Brad wasn't a Falkirk player at that time.
Neither he was. It'll be Leon then. It'll be Finn.
No, Finn was on the bench.
Nizzy.
Nope, Nesbitt was on the bench. Think centre halves.
All right, Cole.
Call Hendo.
Call Hendo and Leon.
Yep, Nesbitt was on the bench. Finn Yates was in the bench. Gary Oliver was on the bench. There was Gary a number. But no, Brad wasn't a Falkirk player. So that is the John, you will have won today. But let's go to question number five, see if he's get it. So in the 2013 semi against Hibs, who scored all three of Falkirk's goals? So, in the 2013 semi against Hibs, who scored the three Falkirk goals?
2013 against Hibs. Semi final against Hibs. It was Lyle Taylor.
Yep. Nope. Lyle Taylor, no.
When we got beat 4-3.
When we got beat 4-3, Lyle Taylor missed a sitter.
That's right.
Grandy boy, any guesses from you? Remember?
Not a clue.
No, not sure. It was Craig Sibbald, Jay Fulton, and Blair Alston.
All right, yeah.
That was the three. But John, very well done. Play the string, sir.
Fabulous. There you go.
Well done.
There we go. Thanks very much. Thanks for coming on as ever, Grant. Hopefully we've boosted your your showcase. And if you want to hire Grant as an actor, you know, he's always there for you, for all your needs, acting needs.
Yep. Being Santa Claus, adult movies, anything, I'm not too fussed.
Adult movies.
Excellent. Why not? There you go. I'm available for those as well, by the way. I'm not even an actor.
I have just had a massive picture put in my head.
Brilliant, Grant. Thank you for coming on Falkirk Daft.
Thank you for having me. Cheers, guys.
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall and the Falkirk Football Fans in Training.
Right, well, that's it for this week's Falkirk Daft then. Before we go, say thank you very much to the Falkirk football fans and training. T8's down at the stadium every Wednesday, 8:30 to 9:30. If you're looking to help your mental health, get a bit of fitness, get involved with the guys. They're down there every 8:30 to 9:30. They've got their over 50 section now, as well as their Elite Academy and Legend sections. So get down, have a kick about, help your mental health, lose some weight, and get in touch with Ian or Willie. The details are below, but you have to be over 40 and no ex-pros. Thank you very much. Imagine if you you turned up and was an ex-pro there. A lot of the ex-pros now play like over 35s. I've seen a lot of ex-pros, like Kenny Duker was playing over 35s, and like my mates have played over 35s and turned up, and there's been like all these amazing players playing, and they're like, shit. But there you go.
Imagine if, like, you're right though. Imagine like Kevin Drinkle just rocks up.
I know.
You know what I mean? That'd be mental, wouldn't it?
What a random name to pull out of the thin air there, Ross.
Well, no, his name came up on Friday night because...
He's going to be in the lounge soon, isn't he? That's
he's
right.
He's going to be in the lounge soon, yeah.
So, we'll hopefully speak to Kevin in a wee while. But there you go. Falkirk football fans in training every Wednesday, 8:30 to 9:30. Get in touch. The links are below. And that is it for this week's Falkirk Daft. Thank you very much for watching. Thank you very much for listening. Get us where you get podcasts. Remember, date for the diary, Falkirk Daft Live, May the 15th. Don't go and see the complete Stone Roses. Come and see us instead. Get that date in your diary. Tickets will go on sale soon. Still try to work out who we want to get guest wise. Hoping to get one of the current squad down. That would be really, really nice to get one of the current members of the squad, and then obviously a former player as well, or a couple of former players. We'll see who we can muster up for the night. Maybe we should ask Scott Arfield. So for people that missed out on the Arfield night, maybe we want. Well, we might as well ask the question. We might as well.
It can only say no.
So, well, you know what? Bugger it. I'll ask Scott Arfield to see if he'll do it. Because he did him a favour. He can do us a favour, couldn't he? So, fuck it. We'll ask Scott Arfield. So, we'll confirm that nearer the time. But, get that date in your diary. Is there any other business that we need to talk about before we go and watch who we're going to end up in the final, semi-final, in case I'm getting beyond myself?
No, I don't think so, mate. I think we've covered everything off. Always good to talk through. And, let's see what the draw brings tonight.
I've got something that I remember. I met him. I was on the train. I was going to a gig on Wednesday night. And I was sitting on the train. And a guy sat beside me. And I went, I know you. And it was the lead singer of Brogo, Aidan. We're now going to have a bit of music on this. Because Aidan said to me, now, the I'll be honest with you, the boys are all Falkirk supporters, right? Celtic supporters that play in Brogo, right? But they've got a song called The Roving Falkirk Bairn, right? Mm-hmm. Now, I want to let you hear this, because I think, and I want to get your opinion out there, I think this should be used pre-match for when either the teams come out or post-match, because the lyrics in it are very Falkirk, right? And Aidan, I think, actually we were sitting gassing away, and he said, oh, do you do that Falkirk podcast? I said, aye. He said, you should definitely try and get the club to get this song played. Now, I'm going to play it for you in our new feature, Musical Corner.
That's a great way to play out the podcast. That's a brilliant idea.
Here is the Roving Falkirk Bairn, right? Let us know what you think about it. I'll play it to you here, because Ross, I don't know if you've heard this song, have you?
I have, yes, I've heard it before. I think I've said this before, but shout out to Adam, who watches the podcast. He lives in Swindon, and he's a
that's
huge
right. I put him on to it. I put your pal on to him, isn't it? Yeah, right. So this is the Roving Falkirk Bairn on Falkirk Daft.
A roving Falkirk bairn, you'll need not know my name. I've travelled all around the world, but no home can I claim. Of all the places I have been, there's none I would compare with dear old Carron Waterside and my friends and loved ones there. I've sailed across the Hudson wide, the Thames, the Seine, the Rhine. And though they are all wonderful, there's none that is so fine. as the beautiful Carron water that flows so wild and free from Falkirk to Grangemouth town and beyond to the North Sea.
Here we go, and then we get pumped up. Team come out, here we go.
When I am done with rambling, never more to roam, I'll settle by Carron waterside, and there I'll build my home. I'll tell my songs and stories there, and view the golden vale, and happily live out my days where nature's ways prevail.
Did you hear that, eh? I like this. It's brilliant.
I think that's a belter. I do think, obviously, all the, you know, the title of the song, all the places name checking the tune. If you go in, they're first on the stage at Transmit this summer as well. So they're playing Transmit, and I think they're playing on the main stage at Transmit as well. So Falkirk band, I know that most of them, I think one of them's a Falkirk supporter. I think bassist maybe is a Falkirk supporter, but the rest of them are Celtic boys. I think all went to St Mungo's. And do you know what? I think perfect, and go and check them out. That's a hot music tip. Is Brogo, they've got some brilliant songs, and it's all about the tune. They sing all about the songs, all the songs. They mention the Wheat Sheaf gets mentioned, Vicar Street Days. It's the brilliant band. I can't rave about them. And like I said, bumped into Aidan on the train on my way back from Glasgow.
I think that's a great show, John. I really do. And it's pumping. It builds and builds, and then you get it to the chorus.
So there you go, so. Dave Mack, or any of the Falkirk commercial staff, or anyone listening that does entertainment, the Roving Falkirk Band. We're putting that ahead. Let us know what you think, though, and hopefully get that played at the stadium, because it would be good. I think it builds and builds and builds, and it just either at the end of the game when we've won, or before the teams come out, I think everything would sound great. But there you go, musical corner, a first on Falkirk Daft. If you want to highlight any music, get in touch with us. Brilliant. Great. Listen, thank you very much for watching. As I said, listening, join your Discord channel, lots of chat going on there. You can talk about Brogo and the Roving Falkirk Band in there if you want. That's us for this week. Thank you. We're waiting to see the draw now. We'll be back on Thursday with a preview podcast. We'll maybe speak to my friend Beth Wallace, who's a Radio 1 DJ, who will get her on to talk about Aberdeen, because she's a mad don, and she works with me on the radio, and she's been on Radio 1 and stuff like that.
We'll
speak to Beth about Aberdeen, hopefully, and we'll have the preview podcast out on Thursday. But until that time, Ross Wayne.
Expect unexpected, and when the Bairns go up to lift the Scottish Cup, we'll be there.
We're Falkirk Daft, we're Falkirk Daft, talking about the dark blues and having a bit of a laugh. We're Falkirk Daft, we're Falkirk Daft, you can listen in the pub or you can listen in the bath. We're Falkirk Daft, we're Falkirk Daft, for everyone who's kidding about being a Falkirk Bear. We're Falkirk Daft, we are Falkirk Daft.